Thanks for checking out our weekly Sunday message from Carrollton UMC. We pray that God will use this to speak to you and help you grow in faith. We invite you to join us this Sunday at our 10:30 a.m. one-hour service, in person at our location in Uptown New Orleans, or live online on our YouTube channel or Facebook page. To learn more about Carrollton, please visit us at carrolltonumc.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John. It is John 20, verses 19 through 31, entitled, Jesus Appears to His Disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I shall see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And through the door, though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. He said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of God for us, the people of God, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in all ways. For you are our rock and our ever-present Redeemer. Amen. It was really good to see everybody last week. We worked really hard last week to make sure that Easter would not become cliche or trite when Easter loses its meaning in the celebration. We've tried to avoid that. Much in the matter that we find ourselves year after year having to remind people to keep Christ in Christmas. And we determined last week that Easter is in no way ordinary because it's not about our world. It's about God's world. Easter is about a God, we said this last week, who creates a way where there was no way, who makes war on evil until evil is defeated, who raises a dead Jesus Christ to show us who's in charge here. And we also decided that once we truly comprehend what happened at Easter, acknowledge the resurrection and its significance, our world could never be the same because, and we didn't say it exactly this way last week, but I want you to think about this. Once the resurrection occurs, all the things that Jesus said leading up to the resurrection, including promises of our eternal life, all those things are true. Which is why that this week following Easter, we want to cement home the fact that, yes, that really just happened at Easter. The Easter scripture that we read last week, at the time, it began with Jesus having already been raised from the dead, and we learn that even though the tomb was empty and the angels spoke to the disciples, it was not enough for the disciples to believe that the resurrection had occurred, because they're in their own world, their own tomb, if you will, of grief and doubt and despair and maybe just some downright denial. And we discovered in Easter that after the resurrection, that Jesus makes it a point to go see the disciples, and we talked about it just now, to make them partakers of the resurrection, to deliver them from doubt to belief, from grief to joy, and from despair to hope. So as it turns out, today's scripture this morning tells us that Thomas, one of the 12, wasn't there with them when Jesus first met with the disciples. And says, I'm not going to believe until I get some proof about the resurrection. He expresses his doubt, not mildly, but emphatically, and says, unless I can see the nail holes in his hands, put my hands into the wounds in his sides, I'm not going to believe. One writer suggested of that was maybe a little hyperbole from Thomas, a little obvious exaggeration. It may have been just that, because in the annals of be careful what you ask for, Jesus straight up tells Thomas, go ahead, check it out. And the scripture today doesn't say exactly, but it strongly suggests that once Thomas saw Jesus' hands, he didn't feel the need to go poke around the rest of the wounds on Jesus' body. And over the years, we have spent a lot of time, when we talk about Thomas and the Doubting Thomas moniker, trying to spare him from that. And we know that Thomas, as a disciple, was not a particularly skeptical disciple, but he was a loyal disciple. He just seemed to have a pessimistic outlook. Yet Thomas's unbelief is something that Jesus needs to resolve and wants to resolve, because Thomas is one of the 12, and that's one of the 12 who's going to go out and start the Christian church. And Thomas can't possibly proclaim the good news if he doesn't himself believe. So after Easter, when Thomas is gathered with the disciples, Jesus comes to them again. He said it several times, in peace, which is kind of important, because you can think that all the things that have happened to Jesus at that point, he could come in anger and tell these guys, just go out there and wage war on somebody, but he doesn't. Instead, he gently deals with Thomas according to Thomas's weakness and Thomas's need, which is exactly like the Jesus we've come to know, this Son of God, who came into a world in human form, all God and all man, and allowed that body to be scourged and crowned with thorns and nailed to a cross. An astonishing humility. One writer called it a gracious condescension. Quite an example for us. And when Jesus overcomes all that, the victory over sin and death has occurred, he's still got to deal with a doubting, skeptical disciple in the same body that was scourged and beaten, but now risen from the death, still reflecting the wounds from Jesus' last days around the crucifixion. So this is no doubt really powerful stuff being presented to Thomas. But what's most powerful, maybe, is the way that Jesus goes about it, the way it's presented, not some sort of beat down or scolding of Thomas, but instead in the form of self-humbling servant love. And it's very effective. I would say much more effective than if Jesus had gone to Thomas and said, just believe it, just get your act together, Thomas. And Jesus says, is blessed to have seen and believed. But he says, blessed are those also who have not seen, but who believe simply on, for example, the eyewitness testimony of the disciples. That would be people like us. Belief that Jesus died for all people, including you and me. Because apart from that faith, we know from all the scriptures we read last week, apart from that faith, we cannot be saved. Our sins are not forgiven. There's no peace, no reconciliation between God and us. But by that faith alone, and not instead trying to go out in the world and doing what we think are good things and in the absence of faith in Jesus, but by that faith alone do we get the benefit from Jesus' sacrifice. In other words, we need to dump our worldly pretenses and start with the basics. Intensely studying Jesus' life, intensely studying scripture and developing our faith, because think about it. Frankly, can you have a faith in someone like Jesus about whom you know nothing? We mentioned last week that the gospel message of Jesus as one way to be saved for salvation ought to be a popular message, but it tends to be less so than we would think. And I would say that today, it's partially because we live in a time right now where people are extremely skeptical, which paradoxically doesn't seem to include a whole lot of criticality about the level of skepticism and what that level of skepticism has on the search for truth and the search for finding truth in Jesus. I had one philosophy professor at UNO who used to say this. He said, be skeptical about everything, including skepticism. In the context of that skepticism, people who reject Jesus and therefore, or reject the resurrection, and therefore reject Jesus. And let's be clear about that. There's no partial acceptance of Jesus if you reject the resurrection. Folks who reject the resurrection out of skepticism seldom bother to look at the text, examine the historical evidence for the resurrection, including the historical countings in Scripture, like we just read. Because it's interesting to me, in areas that we think are rock solid, like science and technology, we often begin to learn and even develop those areas by believing much that we do not completely understand. Taking many positions based upon trust, accepting propositions given to us by experts on the topic. Even the most advanced scientist usually begins with postulates and hypotheses and theorems that he or she cannot possibly prove yet, but without which the scientist cannot move forward and begin to pursue the new science. So maybe in the matter of pursuit of truth in the form of Jesus Christ, it works this way. Pursuit of that truth requires the opposite of the seeing is believing that Thomas demanded. Instead, only by believing in Jesus to start are we able to see the truth, by leaving open the possibility. Like Jesus said, blessed are those that have not seen and have yet believed. It may not seem to make sense to us, but that's what he said. Today, after the celebration of Easter, we may still be individually suffering with our own spiritual lockdown. Let's make it a point to focus on the resurrection of Jesus in the historical accountings we read, including today's scripture, and allow the possibility of belief where there might otherwise be doubt, instead of pushing everything out in the name of skepticism. Pray that the risen Christ will come to us in peace and deliver us from doubt to faith. You know, in this life, you meet a lot of people who say they're Christians, but run their lives, they run their own show like they know better. They contend that church, the very church that Jesus started, and Christian study is not for them. And it's usually attributed to sort of petty preferences, like, I don't like to get up on Sunday, or people in church are strange. Yes, we can be sometimes. They could be wrong, and they don't leave open that possibility. They don't leave open the possibility that they could be wrong and the possibility that Jesus may have a better plan for them. We learned today that even Thomas, pejoratively cast as doubting Thomas, left open the possibility, and Jesus rewarded him for it. The most critical piece in all of this for you to remember, according to scriptures like John 3:16, which we all know, is that not whosoever thinks they know best and try to be a good person or even succeed in doing good deeds and things, but instead the scriptures say whosoever believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior will not perish but will have eternal life. Jesus said so. After which, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And Jesus also said that would occur. Logically, therefore, there can be no doubt that what Jesus said about our own salvation and about eternal life is true. Let us pray. God, help us to be open to you, to leave open the possibility where we might fight based upon whatever we think we know or think we've learned, where we might fight to demand more proof about you before we believe. Help us to leave open the possibility that we may be looking at it incorrectly, and to use what you've given us in Scripture, and use what you've put in our hearts in the Holy Spirit, and use the people around us, many of whom are close disciples, to teach us and allow them to make us better Christians, to bring us closer to you, and to leave open the possibility that everything that Jesus said is true. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen.